Start and hold. Are you still going? Yes. Okay. Awesome. My wife pointed out to me that I've misspelled the author's name in my title. Forgive me. I know it didn't have an N in it, but somehow an N snuck in there. So, for those of you that may have been researching or looking for this book under a different name, that's maybe why you didn't find it. So sorry. Well, that's true. It is quite a unique name, right? Yeah. So, as Chuck mentioned, right, we're in week three of a 5-week conversation about prayer. And as I've mentioned, I've been taking really the majority of my information from this book, Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. I think it's been an amazing book. It's got a lot of practical advice and guidance when it comes to prayer. You don't have to read it, but I would encourage you to. I think it's really been quite enlightening for both Lisa and I and others that have. So we'll dive in. I've been basically taking 2 chapters a week, and so we'll just kind of continue down that path. So, you know, starting out, this is kind of the main focus that he starts the actual book with that I've been incorporating into every talk from the beginning, right? And that is this statement that prayer invites you to learn to listen to God before speaking. We talked about that in week one. To ask like a child in your old age. What does that bring up to you? That brings up to me vulnerability, naive, just pouring out your heart and soul to the Lord. Because as we get older, we tend to be a little more maybe protective, controlling, standoffish. To scream your questions in an angry tirade, to undress yourself in vulnerable confession. We talked about that last week, right? And then to be loved, completely and totally loved in spite of everything. So this week, we're going to talk about 2 different things. He titles these On Earth as It Is in Heaven, and then Daily Bread. So, let's go into that. So, On Earth as It Is in Heaven, he refers to this basically as intercession, right? Intercessory prayer. These are prayers, obviously, for other people, other things, the world, the missions, etc., right? These are things we're probably very familiar with, but he kind of dives into some areas that I think are quite interesting. But I want to take a step back for a second, but first, can somebody look up John 16 for me? Jennifer's already on it because I can count on Jennifer to be there. And somebody read that for me. Yeah, 23 through 24. No, not the whole chapter, right?
And in that day, you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made full.
So, why does Jesus say this, right? Till now, you haven't been asking for things in my name, right? And so when you take a step back and think about prayer from an intercession perspective, let's go back and look at what actually happened, right? What was God's original plan? And if somebody wants to read Genesis 1:26 for me. I think Nathan's got it. He's using the electronics. Who's got it?
Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
So why are we put on this earth? Why was man even made? Man was made, yes?
For God's pleasure.
For God's pleasure, yes, that's right. But we are also made to be, right? In conjunction with God, we were made in His image and likeness to rule the earth, right? We were there, or man was made to be that ruler of his creation, of the Lord's creation. We were made to be God's intercessors. He gave us certain creation to manage. The place we inhabit was actually our assignment. So if you think about it, right, we're put on the earth to come alongside God, to work alongside and be an intercessor, to be a ruler, right, of the creation together with God. But what happens? Yes, Crystal. No, I don't think so. I don't think so in this case. I mean, I think I use the term rule, the Genesis phrase rule, more from a perspective of we were here to be over this, right? Over, not necessarily ruler as in kings and queens, right? But more of, hey, this is the Lord's creation. He's putting, you know, humans in charge. Thank you. Right. So what happened, right? What happened is the fall happens. We know what happens, right? Satan comes, tempts Adam and Eve. They believe the deception. They act on the deception. Pain and suffering enter our world. And with that, the actual line of communication between God and his people is fractured, right? So once again, just kind of looking historically, where are we, right, at the beginning, and then Christ coming and giving that authority. Statton says, we look around the world. Sorry, this is a small print. We look around the world and see the dysfunction surrounding us everywhere. Suffering, pain, injustice, oppression. But we lack the capacity to set the world right. To rule, right? To use the language of Genesis. Because somewhere between God's mind and our action, the signals are cut off. The imprisonment is inside us. We carry the image and authority of a perfect, loving God. It's all still there, but we are paralyzed by a communication breach. Then what does God do, right? God sends Jesus. That was the purpose, right? So Matthew 28, 18, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. God won that authority back through the death of Christ, right? So he restored that position for which you and I were created. He stepped into the tension that we feel all the time and cut a way through. He made us intercessors again. Now, the beauty of that is, okay, so now we're now back to being intercessors. What does prayer have to do with that? And the point being here is that restoration of that intercession comes through prayer, right? Prayer is that pathway back to God's original plan. Prayer is the way we rule and we manage and we intercede for this world. Prayer repaired that communication. And I think his point and the point we need to remember is that that communication line is open. We just need to take advantage of it. And if you're like me, sometimes you just get busy. Sometimes you just, you know, don't feel like praying. Or maybe you got it all under control and you don't need God unless something really bad happens. And last but not least, it is a means by which we push back the curse that's infected the world. And in many cases, it's infected us. So when you think about intercession, Richard Foster actually is a big proponent of this, is it's nothing more than ordinary love combined, which I think was interesting, with sober humility. Most needs exceed our capacity, and prayer fills the space between love and humility. I think I've shared this story with y'all before, but, you know, I'm a parent. I like to tell my kids, especially teenagers and let's say semi-young adults, what my opinion is, what I think they should do, right? Give them advice and guidance. Sometimes they take it. Sometimes they don't take it. Sometimes I want to smack them upside the head because they don't take my advice, right? I mean, you do. I mean, let's face it, especially as they get older because they should know better. I was listening to a podcast, and I can't remember who it was. May have been Tim Mackey, may have been somebody else. But the commentator made a point is, what do you think is more powerful? You telling your son or daughter what they should or should not do, or praying for them about it? That was very insightful for me, right? And it just made me realize, okay, what's the best thing that I can do for my kid?
Can't we do both?
You can do both. Absolutely, Kim. Yes, do both for sure. But what, you know what I mean? What is the best thing that we can do? The best thing and most powerful thing we have at our disposal is prayer, right? I mean, that's what intercession is all about. And we'll get into the practice at the end that he recommends, and we'll talk through that in a little bit more. So, do you believe that? Do you believe that prayer is the most powerful thing that we can do? You can say no, it's okay, I'm just curious.
I think the answer is like obviously yes, but I think a lot of times we think that it's hard to believe because you don't always see an immediate result.
Yeah, that's great. Did y'all hear that? You don't always see an immediate result, it's hard to believe. Yeah, Kendall, thank you. Good point. So, let's talk about daily bread then for a minute. He refers to this as petition, right? And obviously, you know, he's following the Lord's Prayer here, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Why? Why is daily bread so important? He points out two areas. One is that daily bread prayer leads to gratitude. And his comment is, prayer is not the ascent of the soul to some other place. It deals directly with our basic day-to-day needs and wants. Prayer is about the demands, obligations, and privileges of this very day. And when we keep our prayers as common as our everyday small talk, we put one foot in front of the other on the pathway to gratitude. We talked about gratitude last week, if you remember, right? We talked about the examine and taking a step back and thinking about how the Lord was involved in our day, in our daily life, and being thankful for that and recognizing that, right? And so the daily bread element is twofold. This particular one is to recognize that the Lord is involved in everything in our lives. Sometimes we look at it from the perspective of, does he really care about that? I don't really know. But I can tell you that I think from a relationship perspective and recognizing that God wants that perfect relationship with us, you know, that's part of this. And that's part of this just going to the Lord with, I need help, or I don't know what to do here, right? And remember, we talked a little bit about this before, and he even makes this comment about everyday small talk. Having a conversation with the Lord should be just like we're having a conversation with one another. Now, we don't necessarily do that. I think we have a tendency to make it flowery and put stuff in our words and all of that. And I think I shared with you before, versus, you know, you just pour your heart out to God. You just give it back to the Lord in whatever way feels comfortable for you. He can take it. He's still listening. The other side, and I referred to this earlier, is daily bread leads to a loss of control. Prayer helps us combat the original lie in the garden, you can be your own God. This goes back to my point earlier, right? Thinking back on my kids, where I want to give them advice. I want to be in control. I don't necessarily want to pray about it because I've got it, right? Don't worry, God. I've got this one. You can take a rest. It's okay. I got this. Sorry. You know, it I know, cracking myself up. It's a daily reminder that we are not in charge, And I don't know about you, but when I go day or days or maybe even a week, and I just haven't sat down and prayed, you know, I'm challenged, right? All of a sudden, I'm thinking I'm my own God. I'm believing the original lie. I'm in control. And I'm really not. And I think we have to be reminded of that. And then prayer replaces control with trust. A God-given desire is only fulfilled by God-given means. I think for me, this is an area of struggle. I think we all want to believe that we've got things completely solved. And I know we talked before, the last couple of classes, is when we're going to the Lord, we really are going there in a, if you think about it, we're giving our control over, right? It's like, Lord, yeah, maybe I can do this, but I need you, right? I'm letting go and giving it back to you. And there's some comfort in that, knowing that you've got a loving Father that wants that perfect relationship with you. You let go of that. And that's a comforting thing for ourselves. Not necessarily, you know, anybody else. It's between you and the Lord. So then the question is, well, wait a minute. Why does God want to hear us ask? I mean, you see this right throughout the Bible. John 5, great example, where the disabled man who stand by the pool, I can't remember the name of the pool, but
Bethesda,
thank you, right? Where if it bubbles, right, the first one to the pool wins and gets healed, right? What is Jesus asking? Right? He doesn't say, do you want to swim the butterfly? Sorry, that was... I swam the butterfly. I just want y'all to know I did when I was younger. I did. Thank you, Kim. Thank you very much. So, anyway. No, he asks him, do you want to be healed? Of course he wants to be healed. He's been laying there for however many years, right? Why else would he be hanging there? Crystal?
Go out to society, go figure it out, go find a place to live, all that stuff. Like they say, you know, people in prison, for example, have a tough time getting out because they know that system. Dogs in shelters have a hard time getting out of their cages because they know that small system, and then the big world is too much for them. I don't know if God's asking this man, are you ready?
It's an interesting perspective. Never thought about it that way.
I just wonder why they didn't just hang out on the side in the
pool. Yeah, right, just ready to be in the pool. I mean, Mark 10 is another great example. Bartimaeus on the side of the road. Jesus is coming by. He's yelling, Son of David, have mercy on me. People are rebuking him. Hush, right? Stay over there. Jesus says, come here. What would you like me to do? He's blind. What do you know what I mean? But anyway, other words. But I think the point being, right, is if God already knows, and this got to be a question we ask, right? If God, and you've heard this, if God already knows what we want or need, why do we need to ask?
It's good for us.
It's good for us. Okay. I like that. And actually, where Statton goes is he looks at it from two perspectives. We ask for two reasons. Number one, the relationship that we talked about, and then empowerment. And so from a relationship perspective, if you think about the beginning and the end of the biblical story, right? So I'm talking Genesis 1 all the way through Revelations 21, 22. Well, I should know that, but I don't. Right? What's it about? It's about a perfect relationship that God has built and created the world and man to live in a perfect relationship. The end of that relationship, right, is heaven. And what is heaven? Heaven is eternity with God, right? In which reality is, at the end, the church mission, right, the mission that we're on in terms of telling others about Christ and, you know, ruling or authority over the world is done, right? So it's about that end-to-end relationship. Another thing he mentions is you can't, once again, you can't build trust without asking. Because if you think about it, if you don't ask, God becomes a machine delivering on our desires, perhaps even before we know we have them, instead of a free relational being. Asking is the means by which we build the relationship with God He designed us to enjoy. And we talk about that especially from a salvation perspective, right? The grace message. God created us to be in, or created us in His image, right? And He's given us free will. He's given us free choice to make this decision. It's similar here, right? He's given us that freedom to make that decision. And part of the beauty of prayer is being able to really, I think Kendall kind of summed it up very quickly, is it's good for us. It builds that relationship and trust on our side. Empowerment, on the other hand, is God's plan for getting us to a relationship with Him, right? Remember, we are participants in this world. Jesus came to not only redeem the world, but to invite us, right, to participate. Where's my book? Ah, there it is. Right.
Like, I know you need that.
Right.
I would like you to ask, please.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's a good point. For sure.
I think also it puts you in a position of humility. It's hard to ask for help sometimes.
Yes.
And so by forcing us to ask, we recognize we can't do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So he's got, I'll just read this. It's Exodus 32, 12, and 13. Remember, this is Moses. So just paint the picture. God is not happy with the Israelites. Not happy at all, right? This is Moses crying out to the Lord. Really, in my book, having an argument. And he says, Moses says, turn from your fierce anger. Relent and do not bring disaster on your people, the Israelites. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. I mean, you kind of look at Moses' prayer, it demonstrates, and what happened, right? God relented. God, right? God heard the prayer. God obviously listened. He cared about it, and He moved. I mean, to me, I think that's a great example, and I think sometimes we don't think that God does hear us. Now, yeah, He may not answer everything the way we want it. We all know that. And I can't tell you why some things He answers and some things He doesn't. I got no idea. But, you know, when you look at this, to me, that's a great example. Dallas Willard has a really good quote in here in my book, and it says, God's response to our prayers is not a charade. He does not pretend He is answering our prayer when He is only doing what He was going to do anyway. Our requests really do make a difference in what God does or does not do. I mean, I think that's the approach we have to go into this with. Number one, to demonstrate humility. Number two, to build on that relationship of what we were made to do. That's why we're here. We're here to have that communication line open with the Lord. Prayer is that line. Prayer allows us to come alongside, to be a ruler, if you will, for Genesis term, right? That's what it's there for. So, let's talk about the practice sessions. He identifies the two areas when it comes to intercession and petition. So first thing in your prayers, think about, as he says, your will be done, right? He challenges us to identify either an area in your life you've never given over to the Lord, or perhaps maybe you're trying to take back. Okay? Think about that. And then he even goes down the path of you could even think about it from a posture perspective. Cindy talked about this 2 weeks ago, I think, in terms of the fists, right? In other words, you're giving the Lord the issue that you're trying to hold on to, and then, I mean, physically, you're letting go. You know, there's something to that. There's something to be putting those two together. But then, once you release it, then ask the Lord for filling from the Spirit, you know, providing a place of peace instead of anxiety, trust instead of fear, because let's face it, things we control, we probably are fearing in many cases, right? The second part of intercession is think about what you're probably doing today. Where is God's kingdom absent? Big picture, right? Maybe there are areas the Lord has shared with you in the city of Dallas. Maybe you've got missionaries in other countries where you are getting their newsletters and know some of the heartbreak that's actually happening in those areas, right? Bring that to the Lord. Be to the point. Be specific. He's very big on that. Be specific. That way you know if God's going to, if God answers it or doesn't, right? On the other side is petition. Bring your little things in your life to God. Once again, he says, be specific so that God has the chance to disappoint you or surprise you. I thought that was kind of interesting. And then be bold and empowered to the point that you wonder if you were allowed to be this forward with God. That kind of takes some kahunas, doesn't it? I guess I'm not supposed to say that, am I? Sorry. Yeah, well. Yeah, right. Yes, it is. Thanks. Whoops. Wrong one. So here's what we're going to do. Ooh, okay. 5 minutes. We're going to break into our groups. And if we have time to get through both, great. If not, no big deal. Number one, I want you to talk about in your heart and where the Lord has spoken to you, where are the areas that are most troubling, right? Where is heaven needed, whether it's the city, a country, whatever it is, big picture, right? And then if you have time, talk about what are the daily tasks? What is your daily bread? What are the little things that, you know, you, that are part of your life that you want to give over? I'm not talking about the deep, dark secrets, right? I'm just talking about the little things. Okay? So we got about 5 minutes before they start hanging out at the door. Ready? Break.